Good morning, church family. It is so good to be in worship with you this morning as we gather in spirit and just to sing our praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you had a great week and a very blessed Thanksgiving. I'm sure it looked different for you. I know for my family, it was just the three of us here. We had some grandmas deliver food to the house and we ate dinner over Zoom. It was very different. But I hope you still found some time to pause and to give thanks for all of the things that we have to be grateful for in this life. So today does begin the season of Advent, the season of preparation as we lead up to our Christmas celebration. And honestly, this too is one of the many things that feels different this year. For the first time ever in my life, first of all, I decorated my house for Christmas before Thanksgiving. That is usually a huge no-no for me. I have to wait until after Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, because it's family, friends, food, and no obligation to give gifts. It's wonderful. So I always wait until after Thanksgiving to decorate for Christmas. But this year, it's different. I decided a few weeks ago that I just needed a little bit of extra joy. I've heard from some of you that you have done the same. And so as I was thinking about how to lead us through Advent this year, I decided that we need some joy. We need some good news. And this is not to ignore the bad things that are going on, the long winter ahead, that as we're still in the middle of this pandemic, it's not to ignore the pain or the suffering or the loss that many have experienced. But it is to remind us that the good news of Jesus Christ still comes into the messes of our world. And that, my friends, is the story of Christmas. God becoming one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so instead of focusing on waiting, we're gonna focus on celebrating. Celebrating with one another what God is doing in our lives, in our midst, even now in a very challenging season, because this is still the good news of Jesus Christ. So each week in Advent, we're gonna start by simply sharing some good news with one another. I know we did this a few weeks ago. So I just wanna start by asking, how can we celebrate with you this morning? What are you praising God for? Give me some good news. Let's talk about some good news. And if you have something to share, go ahead and drop it in the comments. And if you are watching on our streaming platform or on Facebook, go ahead and share it there in the comments. If you're watching this stream later, go ahead and text an answer to that number on the screen. And then I can see that, receive that later, and we can celebrate it next week in worship. But let's share some good news. And as you're sharing, I hope by now that you heard the good news in the Wallace family right now. I announced it last week, but our stream was cut off in truly a 2020 fashion. But my husband, Matthew, and I are expecting a baby in May. And so we are very excited. I'm so grateful for each of you that have reached out and your prayers and the congratulations so far. We are just so excited, and this is a huge piece of joy for us to look forward to in the new year. So thank you, church. Wanted to share that in case you missed it last week. It was sort of a half weird announcement. All right, so share some of that good news. You guys are interacting, and next week I will be live and I'll be able to celebrate that with you. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate this season. We're also going to ask, what does it look like to share good news in our lives? Specifically, what does it look like to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and not just this season, not just this time of year, but in every aspect of our lives, to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, this is gonna be a little bit different this year. I'm just embracing it. Our time of preparation in Advent is going to be more like preparing to be a witness for Christ, or rather preparing to go tell it on the mountain. This is our theme for Advent this year, based on this well-known Christmas song. I like to sometimes do that. We're going to explore how we can go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. And truly the difference that this has made in our lives, preparing to be a witness. Now, some of you have already gotten nervous at just hearing the word witness. You are either thinking, I can't do that. I don't know enough. I don't know how to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Or you are thinking about a really bad experience you've had in your life where someone has attempted to witness to you and it just really didn't go well. But hang in there with me. Let's see if we can set this up. Because I think although this is a very unconventional Advent series for us, it can be powerful as we realize what sharing the good news can actually look like today. Because we all have good news to share. We spent the last series talking about the things that we commit to when we choose to live out our life of discipleship here at Revolution Church among this particular community. We talked about how we commit to support this church with our presence and our prayers, with our service, and with our financial gifts. But there's actually one more thing on that list that we usually include as part of our membership vows, as a part of those commitments that we make to this local church. And that is, we commit to support this church with our witness. We understand that this is a key part of our discipleship, that we are called to not only be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but to be a disciple who also makes disciples, to tell people about our faith, to go tell it on the mountain. Now again, I know you are nervous. I know this makes many of us uncomfortable, and that's okay. The truth is, you are actually already good at witnessing. We all are. We are good about talking about good news and sharing about good things that have happened in our life when we want to. We don't think twice about recommending a great restaurant after just a phenomenal experience of either their food or their service. We don't hesitate to talk about the movie that we just saw and to recommend it to a friend. Or even our favorite vacation spot. When we experience something good and positive in our lives, we're excited to tell people about it. We want to tell others so that they can share that same joy. Go to that restaurant. Go see that movie. You're going to love it. Here's my favorite beach spot. You should check it out. And that is a good thing because we are really good about telling these stories. But when it comes to talking about the story of our faith or about Jesus, about sharing the ultimate good thing, well, that's a little bit harder. That's a little bit harder. Because there's something I'm talking about here. There's a big elephant in the room, and it's a word that starts with a big letter E that I haven't named yet. Can any of you guess what it is? Are you thinking it already? That's right, it's evangelism. That's what we're talking about here. Telling other people about Jesus Christ. So I want you to pause for a second and I want you to think, what is the first word that comes to mind when you hear the word evangelism? It may be positive, it may be negative. It is a loaded word. So if you're feeling bold and brave, go ahead and share something in the comments about the first thing you think when you hear the word evangelism. And while you are thinking, I'm going to share this video with you that's called The Skinny on Evangelism.
Evangelism is not for the weak, all right? I should know. I wrote a whole book about it. Self-published. Most Christians, they are just good for bake sales and potluck dinners. But I'm telling you this right now, it takes a lot of moxie to grab a non-believer by the shirt collar and throw him in the front doors of a church and say, hey, try living out your heathen life in front of a holy God that way. It is like holy water on a vampire. That's divine intervention, my friend.
Repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is nigh. Come to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, sir, it sounds like you're really passionate about Jesus.
I am. And you should also be.
Okay.
Passionate about the Lord.
Sir, if there's...
You need to get sanctified or chicken fried. You need to get with the Lord or drive a Ford.
Sir, we...
Get right or get left.
I share my faith. Okay, that's a lie. People don't even know I'm a Christian. I want to. Again, another lie. I hardly shower, much less have the will to do anything else. Okay. Now, if there was pizza and ice cream every time there was faith sharing, I'd do it. That's a lie. I'm lactose intolerant. Again, another lie. I'm just too cheap to buy dairy. Bottom line, sharing my faith makes me sweaty.
Tip number 95, use big church words like transubstantiation. Heathens get confused easily, and the more confused they are, the more ashamed they are. The more ashamed they are, the more apt they are to make a decision for Jesus Christ.
I believe it's a responsibility, no. The privilege, no. The glorious privilege of every believer to share their faith with others. That's why I share my faith with everyone I come in contact with.
Everyone, really?
Yeah, everyone.
How do you do that?
Check out my shirt. Can't read it? Try this glove. Not working for you? How about this bracelet? No comprendo? Vistazo a estos. Driving behind me? Read my bumper sticker. Says, it's okay if you follow close. I'm going to heaven. Oh, you're my waiter or waitress? I got a tip for you. Surprise! It's the gospel. I mean, what do you want, money or eternity? I also use these tracks.
So, what about talking to people about your faith?
I don't really like people, but I love Jesus. Scripture mint?
Hi, my name is George.
And I'm Jorge, and together we're George and Jorge.
Right, right. What we like to do is to take secular songs and reprogram them.
Yes, the purpose is for evangelism. We like to take songs to the unbelieving world and make it believable.
Right, right. Let us give you a sample right now.
You tick. What is it? You're headed to H-E double hockey sticks.
Hey, lost sinner, why don't you just give it all up to Jesus?
Tonight, pray for your soul today. For your soul today. Just pray.
See, I told you, evangelism is a loaded word. Maybe you thought of one of these types of people, the Bible thumper, the one who hands out tracts in public places, the one who screams at the street corners with signs about fire and damnation. Maybe you thought about the televangelist. You should have, because no one thought in 2020 that every mainline Protestant denomination pastor would become a televangelist. This is a weird year. Maybe you thought of words like pushy or awkward or politically motivated. Because who knew that evangelicals as some whole could be mobilized and classified as a whole voting block? And yet, evangelical is a phrase that we have heard a lot in the last several presidential elections. It's gotten really complicated. It has. Evangelism. It's a great word with sometimes a really bad reputation. And so I want to just take a few moments and define some of these terms that I'm talking about here, because they are related but very different, and they are really not interchangeable. And these words are evangelism, evangelist, and evangelical. Similar, related, not interchangeable. Okay, so let's start with evangelism. That is the spreading of the gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Pretty straightforward. Sharing about Jesus Christ, evangelism. An evangelist is a person who seeks to convert others to the Christian faith, especially by public preaching. Someone who talks about something with great enthusiasm. Now, sometimes the four gospels are referred to as the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then finally, evangelical. Now, theologically, the definition of this word means that folks that identify theologically as an evangelical would have an emphasis on personal conversion or being born again. They hold a very high regard to Scripture as the ultimate authority, and some will read it literally. They hold an emphasis, or place an emphasis, on the cross and sacrifice of Jesus Christ as making possible the redemption for all of humanity. And they also hold an emphasis to active Christian service, with many feeling a mandate to witness or to evangelize others to the faith. Okay, now why include that last definition? Sometimes I think we assume that for one to participate in evangelism, you must be an evangelist or evangelical. But that's not necessarily the case. And in fact, theologically speaking, many within our Methodist and Wesleyan traditions would classify as evangelical because of the high regard to Scripture and the emphasis on the cross and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Many of us would maybe describe ourselves and our understanding of Jesus and Scripture in this way. But it's become very complicated now that evangelical carries some political perceptions, some political overtones, especially among non-believers. So for people outside of the church, there are assumptions that are made, politically speaking, when we hear the word evangelical. In 2019, the Barna Research Group asked a group of non-Christians, what's your perception of the evangelical community as a whole? Or how would you describe them, the evangelical community in general? The top responses from this group of non-Christians were religiously conservative, politically conservative. They used some positive things to describe evangelicals, like caring and friendly and encouraging, but also some not so great ways to describe them, like narrow-minded, racist, and misogynistic. This reminded me of other research done by the Barna Group, which was published in a book in 2007 called Unchristian. Maybe you've heard of it. This research revealed the shifting perception of Christianity as a whole, and it found that younger non-believers, so outside of the church, younger folks aged 16 to 29, were growing more and more skeptical and more critical toward Christianity in general. And this was more skeptical and more critical than generations before them at the same age. In their research, they found that some common perceptions of present-day Christianity included judgmental, hypocritical, old-fashioned, too involved in politics. This group of non-Christians that were interviewed said they believed that Christians showed excessive contempt and unloving attitudes toward members of the LGBTQ community more than any other group of people that the church might call sinful. And when young people were asked to identify their impressions of Christianity, and this was for young people both inside and outside of the church, for people who identified as Christians and for people who did not. When young people were asked to identify their impressions of Christianity, one of the common themes was Christianity has changed from what it used to be, and Christianity in today's society no longer looks like Jesus. That one hurts my heart a little bit. Christianity in today's society no longer looks like Jesus. And you know, the researchers found that these perceptions, these ideas held by these non-Christians that were interviewed who participated in this study, these perceptions were based on specific stories and personal interactions that they'd had with Christians and the church. This is not something they were taught or they heard on the media or wherever, but it was based on personal encounters and stories with Christians and the church. Now, friends, please hear me. I am not saying that these descriptions of evangelicals or Christians in general are true or even fair judgments. That's not what this teaching is about. I'm not going to talk about the history of, evangelicals in a political sense and what that, that implication. That's not what this teaching is about. I share these things with you to demonstrate the baggage that comes with talking about evangelism today. I share this to demonstrate how Christians of various traditions are sometimes perceived. It's all quite complicated. And maybe this is one reason you have shied away from talking about your faith to family and friends outside of the church, because sometimes of how we can be perceived, of how Christians can be perceived in the world. And we don't want to come off as judgmental or hypocritical or pushy or anything other than like the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe this is one of the reasons you are hesitant to witness today. One of the reasons you've shied away. So clearly, how we talk about evangelism and how we go about sharing our faith will be very important. Because here's the thing. We are still called to be witnesses. We are still called to share about the love and the hope and the joy and the freedom of Jesus Christ. We are still called to represent Christ and how we live our lives in the world. It is a key part of our own discipleship to be a disciple who makes disciples. Jesus says to his disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, as they are asking him, how are you going to restore Jerusalem and the kingdom? And right before he ascends to heaven, right before he leaves them on earth, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Church, we have received that power. And we are now called to be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's at the center of our religious life. It's beginning in our homes and in our churches where we train one another up to be witnesses for Jesus. We are called to be witnesses in Judea. That was the greater region surrounding Jerusalem. So today, think of it as our family and friends beyond the church. Think of it as our whole city of Louisville. We are called to be witnesses in Samaria. That is to witness in a place that others are told to avoid, to go to the places that might not be proper or safe, to witness to people who are perceived to be our enemies, and share this love and good news with them as well. And we are called to be witnesses to the end of the earth. The power of the Spirit knows no bounds, and neither should our love or our witness. You are called to be a witness. And yes, this is scary and uncomfortable, and it's complicated, and we might be misunderstood. But you know what? When it all boils down to it, when it kind of all boils away, evangelism comes from that Greek word, the root, that simply means good news. So an evangelist is simply someone who shares the good news of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say it before. If it is not good news for all of creation and for all humanity, then it is not the good news. Friends, it can actually be a lot simpler and more loving than we think. Witnessing can be as easy as sharing your story with those who love and trust you. The story of what Jesus has done in your life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the power. That is where it begins. Sharing your story. So I hope you will join us for the next several weeks as we journey to Bethlehem together and prepare ourselves to go tell it on the mountain in a way that we may never have before. I'm very excited about this because it's going to be a little unconventional. And I've actually invited a couple of special guests to come and to share with us each week in an interview format to share their story, a little piece of their story, and to share about what witnessing means to them today. And I'm excited about this because I think you will see some common themes pop up, a theme that we'll focus on each week as we seek to sort of train ourselves up to be better about witnessing for Jesus Christ today. And some of these themes that you're going to hear that we'll, you know, sort of delve into each week are that witnessing must begin with friendship. We must start with love. That to be a good witness, we must know our story and own our story. That there is no shame in our lives for the work that God has done and for how God has redeemed us. We are made new. So let's own that story. You'll see a theme of the importance of offering the invitation, of looking for those right opportunities to share or to invite someone to church or to one of our events. And then you're going to hear a theme about the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit, because all of this will truly be a work of prayer and discernment, of knowing when and knowing what to say. So I'm so excited about this, and I hope you'll join us throughout Advent as we sort of prepare our hearts, prepare our lives, and share some good news, because that's what we need right now during this Christmas story. So church, let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for who you are and for the many ways that you are at work in our life and in our church. God, we thank you for the good news that is coming that we get to celebrate this Christmas. And God, though it is a different season, it is a challenging season, we know that the truth of the story of Christmas is that you show up. You are born into the mess, into the vulnerability of our lives. You become one of us, and we are never alone. So God, help us see that truth this season. Help us to understand the story of Christmas in a deeper way, and help us truly to hear and understand the charge that you give us to go tell it on the mountain, of this story that Jesus Christ is born. God, would you give us the strength that we need? Would you begin to prepare our hearts? Would you begin to place names of people on our hearts that you might be calling us to share this good news with this season? Lord, we give you thanks for who you are, and we pray all of these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for being in worship with us this morning. It has been such a blessing to gather with you here in this space, and I'm so glad that you were here. I do have a couple of announcements for us as we wrap up our time together, and the first is in regards to in-person worship moving forward. We did hear from our Bishop Leonard Fairley last week, who has requested that all United Methodist churches in Kentucky continue worshiping online only through December 13th. This is in line with our governor's recommendation at this time, and so we feel it best to honor our bishop's request and to remain online only through December 13th. I know that it is so difficult and challenging, especially this time of year, to not gather together. But we understand that this can be a way that we are doing our part in our community to slow the spread of this virus, to protect the health and safety of our staff, volunteers, and wider church community. And also, truly, friends, to consider the needs of others as better than our own, especially the most vulnerable among us, and especially the needs of our overwhelmed healthcare system at this time. So maybe this can be our way to do our part to make sure others can get the medical help they need during this health crisis. So I know this is hard. This is not the way that any of us wanted to begin the holiday season, but I do feel like it is the responsible and compassionate thing to do at this time. So thank you for your prayers and for your support moving forward. The lead team will be meeting this week to discuss worship moving forward and through the end of the year. So just stay tuned for more announcements and just continue to pray for us as we discern the best course for our community moving forward. So also it'll be important to stay up to date. Check your email, check your e-blast every week, find announcements on our website. I know Amy is working on the kids' nativity play that will be virtual this year and looking for parts and signups. So check that out through your email and online and be in communication with her if you would like to participate. And finally, if you have been worshiping with us for the first time this morning, welcome. I am so glad that you are here and hope that you have been blessed. If you'd like to sign up for more information or contact us or share a prayer request, you can check us out on our website, revolutionky.org. I would love to connect with you there. Friends, I hope you have a wonderful week. Don't be scared. It's going to be a great Advent together. We are going to have the courage and the strength that we need to truly understand what God is calling us to when He says, "Go and be my witness." It's scary, it's complicated, but it may not have to be as hard as we think. And it truly can be maybe more loving than we have experienced it in our own lives before. So stay tuned, stay with us, have a great week, and let's go and be the revolution.